Welcome to episode 31 of FMLFEL. I am Alon.
This is Walsh.
In this week's episode, we'll cover what the fuck happened game week 30, look forward to game week 31, and spend way too much fucking time on double game weeks, blank game weeks, bench boost, fucking wild card, fucking all out attack, all that shit. Let's go.
Yeah.
Flying without Ings. Still on top of the FMLFEL league, but Isle of Naboomboo's creeping.
Yeah, nothing to worry about. You'll fly with your Ings.
Yeah, there's drama at the top of the league, though.
We just look. We have over 400 listeners in the FMLFPL league. It's pretty genius. And
oh yeah, yeah. The league is growing.
Yeah, it keeps growing slowly now, but it's still cool to have a big league. So we appreciate all you guys who are listening and in the league. It's pretty cool to check in and see how some of you guys are doing. And
We recognize so many of the names from Twitter and email and shit. It's
yeah,
nice.
it's fun.
Yeah, I like it. All right, opening question. Wait, Diego Costa inspired.
This is a new thing.
This is a new thing, yeah. A little, just get like, break the ice, just get, let the listeners get to know us and shit.
Okay.
All right, Diego Costa inspired. When was last time you got a hickey?
Oh, I mean, that was obviously, you know exactly who. But yeah, my second girlfriend who shall not be named in high school was just savagely giving me hickeys all the time. No question about it. Didn't even give a fuck. Would roll into high school with hickeys on my neck. Like,
yeah, all over. Wearing everywhere. Like a basketball jersey. So classic. God.
The opposite of a turtleneck.
Yeah, I was watching the Costa highlight and I just had like a horrible nightmare flashback back to mine, which is for sure in college and I was for sure blackout drunk. And I remember waking up next to this fucking girl, like double digit hickeys all over my body.
That's scary. Like in your midsection?
Yeah, midsection. Like it looked like I had like been playing paintball with my shirt off, and I just
maybe she had like slugs.
Yeah, actual fucking what are
leeches?
Yeah, leeches. Leeches all over my body. Essentially, she was like cuddled up beside me. I was like, "What the fuck is wrong with you?" And I just made her leave immediately.
Oh, that's
hopefully she listens to the pod and is very embarrassed right now.
That's very fun. That's very fun. But yeah, like in high school, it's like, you know, you fucking, when you're fucking, you want everyone to know about it.
Oh, I mean, you walk so in, you're like, boss.
Yeah, it's like, give me all the hickeys. Like, I'm 16, and I'm like, I'm fucking some girl. It's great.
Yeah, it's amazing.
All right, that's enough of that.
Yeah.
So let's go over last week, the five game week. How'd you do?
I did fine. I did underwhelmingly fine. I had 55 points, game week rank of like 500-something K.
Okay.
So I went up overall, which is always good, but I actually went down in like most of the mini leagues I'm in because I just didn't – I missed on captain. We both captained Aguero, which is a fucking mare. I had Mahrez. I had fucking Circus Charlie. I had Bertrand. Fabianski is a fucking mare. I just didn't really – get in there. I mean, it's still, like I said, still went up overall, still probably passed a bunch of casuals on the way, but not as good as I originally hoped.
Yeah, I mean, it's the kind of thing where now, as we're deeper into the season, you're going down in mini leagues, but up in overall, it's still nice to pad the overall.
It's definitely nice.
And like, that should be the goal to me.
Like, Richie is a perfect example. Like, I should be happy with Richie. I took a 2-week punt on him, and he got me returns both weeks, but I got rid of Josh King, who just, like, is now the best midfielder in the game.
But didn't he only have a 7-pointer? Like, what'd you lose, 2 points this week?
I guess so. It just feels like he scored a hat trick for some reason.
Yeah, and especially because you had him for so long, and he was dead for a while.
He was dead forever. And when I had him healthy, he was amazing for me.
Yeah.
So I held on, and then he fucking, yeah, he fucked me.
But, I mean, you had a good Otamendi pun, even though you got the cards a little annoying, but he returned for you. But
yeah, he's been good.
Yeah, I mean, you had just some blanks across defense with Fabianski, Birdie, Daniel, Circus.
That was it. Yeah, I needed, and, like, the Tottenham defender or company who got 9, shit like that.
And it's the kind of thing where when you blank on captain and everyone else, Captain Vardy or Kane, who both got more, it's just...
not good.
It's not good. But I managed to somehow scrape through with all my differentials and everything. I got a 68. I flew. I'm up to 41K.
So proud.
Ugh, feels good.
I'm so proud.
I had like the kind of dark horses I've been backing. I mean, I guess Siggy isn't too much so, but at least I got him a week before. He was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then Arnie came in, and I mean, Ollie, obviously, everyone had him, but then My triple Leicester defense, dude.
That's the best thing you've done in, like, the history of FPL.
What's up? I've literally never tripled on a defense before playing FPL.
Only it's one. Fucking, I'm the only one of us that's ever been insane enough to triple a defense, and it was horrible and completely backfired.
It was horrible.
It was, like, right when Southampton started sucking last season. It was like, horrible. Oh, I'm going to triple them. That's good.
I know, but it's just been the last couple weeks.
So good.
They keep the clean, and then Vardy and Mahrez are relatively quiet. One of them returns. They kind of combo for, like, about 10-ish points, which I can cover, and then I get triple cleans. It's just great.
Yeah, exactly. And even like last week when Mahrez scored and had max bonus, Vardy blanked and you still easily got more than them combined.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had like Paya and Siggy returns. Yeah, I was still picking players I like in midfield and having the fun with the differential action. So
yeah, even with a Sterling one-pointer, you still fly. Still worth it.
What a failed punt.
He scored that one goal, yeah.
Yeah, but this last week, all right, should we do, let's do our sponsor before we move on to what the fuck.
Before we get in there, yeah.
So this week's pod is brought to you by O'Leary's Neck Ointment. Is that opponent in your Sunday league game giving you the crazy eyes? Has he watched too many Suarez and Costa highlights? Has he taken it a step farther and bought a new Costa jersey since Saturday? You might just be one slide tackle away from that mental fucker giving you a bite on the neck like his favorite footballers do. If this sounds familiar, then let me tell you about O'Leary's Neck Ointment. It is a healing salve specifically dedicated to bonding and healing cuts on your neck with extra vitamins for that part of your body. Don't take the fucking chance of bleeding out on the pitch from a neck wound. Don't get costed. Just don't be that guy. O'Leary's Neck Ointment. Don't forget it. It might just save your life.
It's so good. Dude, as soon as the sponsor section starts happening, I'm shitting myself. I literally had two hands over my mouth to try and not laugh throughout the entire thing.
I don't even pretend to leave the earbuds and they come out right away.
They have to come out immediately or it's a mare, yeah.
It's old school. I just black out. I don't know what happened. Did I finish? Did I read it?
Yeah, it's like reading like a speech you're really nervous for or something. You just like throw up beforehand, do it, and then you're good. Yeah. All right, what the fuck happened last week?
So City suck on the road. That's just nailed on.
It's just like, yeah, like I've never been a believer of those kind of general fucking fuck me's. Like just like they're bad on the road. They're good at home. But like they're so bad on the road.
I think at this point with City away, it's to the point where there's enough sample size this season that there's just something fundamentally wrong with them when they leave the Etihad. So it's a mistake. I'm probably not going to captain Aguero on the road again the rest of the season.
Yeah, you shouldn't do. Yeah.
And it was frustrating, you know. It's just frustrating, especially when we're looking at double game week 34 and we'll get ahead to it. Both of their games are on the road, so that sucks.
I saw a stat on Twitter. It was like, I think their goal conversion rate away from home is only worse than Newcastle.
Yeah, that's so bad. That's bad. They're bad. Hindsight's always the 2020 bitch, but auto-capping against Aston Villa seems like a goddamn good strategy to me right now.
Very good. Especially when Kane was rested. Like you said, hindsight's 20-20, but it's like, fuck, yeah.
I know. I mean, I was never in doubt that Kane would score well, but I felt the same way about Aguero, and we spoke about it.
We spoke about the explosivity.
So I don't... Again, hindsight's 20-20, but I feel fine that I captained Aguero, and I don't think I made a mistake there.
Yeah, absolutely. And shout out to... Twitter friend of mine, Jason Diaz, who just like blackout made the move from Aguero to Kane. I think I texted you about that.
Yeah,
right?
He did. That's great.
He tweeted at me like, I don't know when this happened, but thank you, drunk me. And it's just like, oh, you fucking genius.
That's what happened to me the other week when I didn't know if I had Ali in or Arnautovic in the North London Derby. I fucking swore I had Ali in. And I saw the assist. I was like, yes. I was like, fucking 7 points. And then I checked my phone and I was like, oh my God. And then I remembered sort of like changing my lineup and it was. But anyway, so yeah, Spurs bank Villa. Lamella, who we were talking about, I was close to bringing him in, and he looked outstanding.
He looks so fucking good.
I fucking love him. But him and Eriksen blanked, which was whatever. But, I mean, Ali did the business. Of course, bonus point systems are really good, and it makes a lot of sense. So he got nothing.
Ridiculous.
But the game of the week was the Bournemouth-Swansea game. Huh? That was fucking good.
That was a crazy-ass game.
Yeah. 3 points
really
for Bournemouth.
Really nice goals, too.
Yeah. 3 points for Bournemouth. They are well safe. Good for them.
I fucking love Bournemouth. And honestly, I love Swansea, too. But
I love them both. Swansea are going to be safe,
Gradle. Love all those little fuckers.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so Richie got me an assist, but, like, God, I wish I had King. I wish I had Cradle.
I know. I know you have the least sexy of the
Yeah, I have the, options. Like, generic white guy.
Yeah. And then, again, Siggy, his goal is beautiful. He's just so in form. He's been great.
And the Barrow goal is wonderful.
Yeah, the flappy, little flappy hand. Yeah,
it was a Robin goal.
Yeah. And the Stoke-Southampton, I mean, I watched that game because you were watching Swansea-Bournemouth.
Yeah.
It was
the Pella show.
Yeah, it was the Pella show. I mean, you know, Pella donkey's going to dog from time to time. It was astonishing how Stoke got just ripped apart in a matter of like 15 minutes. But the game was actually pretty good, surprisingly. I thought it was going to be pretty shitty, but the Arnautovic goal was well taken. And he's just, I don't know, he's good. He's just
Did
a really good player.
Did Shawcross play, though?
Yeah, he played. But, didn't notice him.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Stoke are one of the most erratic teams of the season.
They really are.
They could beat anyone 3-0 and lose to anyone 3-0.
They're hard to predict. But one takeaway I took, because, you know, I mean, owning Arnautovic and watching the game, I was really watching him closely.
Mm-hmm.
He's from last year, and when he was playing as a winger, he was really shunted on the wing, and he would be, you know, just taking on players on the wing and trying to put crosses in. But this year, like now, he has so much more of a free role, and he really is the focal point of the attack. I mean, he gets into the box, and he makes near post, far post runs, and his runs are so intelligent. He's a really good player.
On the heat map, he's like almost as far forward as the striker. Even a winger.
Yeah, it's not really a winger, but I was really impressed with him. I hadn't seen a full Stoke game for a little while, but he's rounding in. He looks really nice. I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm a good
And they have
good
a double,
friend.
Right? Or no?
No double.
Mm.
It's okay.
We still like him. And then Leicester last. I mean, we mentioned it earlier. You had the triple defense, but like their attack is just so. It lacks so much bite at this point in the season against these bad teams that just park the bus. It's just like.
They don't know what to do with
They had
possession.
One shot on target. Vardy hasn't. He has like one shot on target in four games or some shit. Like. Mahrez is just a bolt from the blue. Whenever he scores, it's just like a moment of magic, but otherwise pretty quiet. And it's just,
I mean, it's kind of the second week in a few where they've kind of had a plodding 1-0 win with like Okazaki. There was that Ujoa game where he scored.
Yeah.
And like you say, one shot on target, it tells you all you need to know. I mean, Mahrez is in another class, but people clinging to Vardy, it doesn't make any sense to me. He's very, very far away out of form.
I cannot wait to get rid of him.
Yeah, I mean, the last two assists he's got was that ridiculous diving bullshit, and then this was like off his shoulder, ass fuck back, back into Okazaki, who did a bicycle kick. Like, he didn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
He's just out of form. So having Vardy makes no sense to me whatsoever, especially with at Palace isn't a difficult fixture, but it's not good. It's pretty neutral.
It's definitely not good.
It's not good. I think it's probably neutral. And then the following week, it's bad when Southampton comes. So getting rid of Vardy makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, I think what we want to focus on right now is really just the double game week planning and how to do so. Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, so let's that's get what everyone it. Wants, right? Let's just fucking dive
in. Yeah, I mean, we were thinking about it all day. I mean, I emailed you a wild card draft.
And neither of us got a lot of work done today, needless to say.
No, I got a lot of work done today.
Okay, Adam. I got a lot of work done today, too.
I just don't know the spots.
Fucking show off. No, I got a lot of work done. Like,
So I think there are two courses, the teams that have their wild card and teams that don't have their wild card, and then also teams that have their bench boost left and teams that don't have their bench boost left. If you have your bench boost left, for me, obviously, you got to go wild card 33, bench boost 34. We have an extra. We have 10 teams and 34 to pick from, whereas we'll only have 8 and 37. The teams that double in 37 are also, to me, significantly worse. You have Sunderland there. You have Norwich and Watford there. You have Man United there. So from an attacking standpoint, I think the double game weeks in 34 where the ceiling's a lot higher. It looks like there are good defensive fixture potentials for game week 37, but attacking standpoint, to me, game week 34 has 10 teams. Yep. There's a lot of juicy shit to go for.
Yeah, Arsenal, City,
West Ham.
And Liverpool are both. West Ham,
Everton.
Yeah.
So loading up for 34, again, you know, bench boost, you got to put 15 in there.
And another thing that I know you and I talked about is that in 34, earlier in the season, there's just going to be more teams still involved in whatever they're involved in, whether it's pushing for the title, whether it's pushing for top four, pushing for Europa, fighting relegation. By the time 37 rolls around, we don't even know which of those teams will be. Like, Norwich might already be relegated, so their double might just be worthless. You know, Liverpool might already be out of Europa or top four contention. They might not really give a shit.
I mean, teams are going to be on the beach by that time.
Yeah, so like, Watford's just going to be in mid-table, whatever. Fuck Milan. So maybe, who knows what they're going to be doing. So yeah, I'd much rather have the guys in game week 34 when everyone's still going for it.
Yeah, especially in 37, if you're thinking about holding your wild card bench boost, picking 15 players isn't going to be a cakewalk, who you know are going to play both games, because a lot of teams, as you mentioned, are going to be on the beach, having nothing to play for, playing some youth players, who knows what the fuck.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense to me. So, yeah, granted, you don't have the blank in Game Week 38 to deal with any teams. You can just figure it out and roll out your best 11 again.
Yeah.
And whereas with the double Game Week 34, you have those few teams that are blank in 35, so you have to navigate that. But we'll get into that shortly, but it shouldn't be too difficult.
Yeah, it's not that many teams, and I don't know. We know so far in advance, you can plan your transfers and kind of figure it out.
Yeah, so let's pull back. So if you don't have your wild card and you're looking at your team right now, you have one free transfer. I think you just have to completely purge yourself of all single game week players. I'm never shy of taking a hit ahead of a double game week because, I mean, it's really a minus two because you get the extra 2 points for minutes played. And you have to look at the point ceiling. You know, you don't want to take like a minus 16 or something crazy, but if you can take a minus 8 or a minus 4 over a couple weeks to field 11, I think that's worthwhile.
Yeah, I fully agree.
Yeah. But again, if you have your bench boost still and you already use your wild card, then you're a little bit fucked because using your bench boost in a double game week when you don't have any double game weekers on your bench makes no sense. You have to just treat it like any game week you could use your bench boost for. Like, wait for your fixtures to line up. It's a little bit more confusing.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, triple captain for 37, well, that's too far away, but I think that's going to just be the move.
Yeah, I fully agree. And you'll basically be choosing between, like, Lukaku, Firmino, or Paye, probably.
Yeah, probably.
And those are not bad at all. Or maybe Costa, who knows what he'll be at, but...
Yeah, but he's got a couple of aways. Yeah, I think West Ham looks pretty good. Yeah, no, and I think
that,
he nailed
that's it. Enough to choose from that I feel comfortable saving my triple captain for 37 again, like we said, and bench boosting 34.
Yeah. And I mean, at the same time, I agree with that.
Some people are talking about all out attacking in 35 to kind of like reshape your team and navigate the blanks, but like I hate that. So I saw someone on Twitter and I just thought it was the stupidest thing because the guys that are most important in 34 to double on are your attackers, and like so I'm not gonna like not get Lukaku because I'm planning an all-out attack on 35. It just doesn't make sense. It's like all-out attack is fine. It's the worst chip by far, but it's fine to just use on any week when like your defenders don't have good fixtures and you have a decent fifth mid with a good fixture and you just use it. I don't think you should be shaping your 34, your game week 34 bench boost team in a way to make it all out attack friendly in 35, because 34 is going to be the mega week when everything happens.
Yeah, no, that's the most illogical thing you can imagine. You outlined it perfectly. It just makes no sense. You want to load up with
just load up. And, you know. Go nuts.
So that said, I mean, looking at 34,
who's nailed? Let's start with nailed. Who's nailed?
All right, nailed for 34.
Paye.
I think Paye, Lukaku,
Firmino, Aguero. Ozil,
definitely.
Definitely.
That's it.
And like, yeah, that might be it. Maybe like De Gea.
No, not nailed, dude. It's a fucking goalie.
Yeah, but Villa, home palace.
No, I know that's a good option, but not nailed.
Yeah, because
you might need you might want to skimp there because we have to field 8 good attackers.
Yeah, that's true.
So what did we have? What do we have? 3 mids and a striker, 2 strikers.
Yeah.
So we basically will have 1 striker, 2 mids, defense, and goalie to work with.
Yeah.
So that's where we're going to have to be looking for our differentials.
Yeah. One. So, One thing is, like, I was looking at Palace. He's just at Arsenal, at United. And it's just like,
give me Bolasie.
Well, yeah, I was thinking maybe Dan is a cheeky differential. Yeah. Just, like, those are horrible fixtures, but two games of Dan, like, give me a goal.
Yeah, but it's tough because you really don't imagine a clean there for them.
Yeah, no, a clean is, like, a total... That would be a total lottery if Palace got a clean. But just give me a goal from Dan.
I know, but dude, Dan is fucking expensive.
Yeah, he is. He's like 5'8" or something.
Yeah, he's 5'8". He's premium. Yeah, yeah. So before we go into team, just another theoretical thing just to think about before you go to 35.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to wild card in 33 so that you have your bench boost eligible. I think the best plan is to save your transfer 33 into 34. So you go into the double game week with already 15 double game weekers. Hopefully no one gets hurt. You have all 15 in your wild card for 33, and you just do whatever you do for 33. And then with your two frees going into 35,
yeah,
you can get rid of probably, I think, three players with a hit, which will be a reasonable tactic to take. Because, again, you know, the teams that are blanking in 35, you know, you have, you're going to want Paye. That's a blank. You're going to want Lukaku. That's a blank.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably going to want Barkley because he's going to be highly owned. You're going to want to cover that, and that's a blank. So right there, you have three blanks, and you don't want to fucking have a 5-3-2 bullshit in game week 35 because that's going to undo any good work you do in 34 potentially. Man United, they have a blank in 35. So
yeah,
you have to be really mindful when you're chopping and changing your players in 34, thinking about what you're going to look like in 35. Granted, you'll have a few fixtures, a few transfers to play with, mm-hmm. but I think it's going to be important to still try and at worst, start four defenders so that you still at least have six attackers in game week 35. So don't overload with like all of your attackers from United, West Ham, you know, Everton, who are going to all blank. Yeah. And then you're going to be fucked and have to play some ridiculous formation in game week 35.
Yeah, yeah. You're not trying to totally fuck yourself over.
Yeah. And also don't keep in mind in game week 37, you know, Everton blank at 35, but is it going to be a worthwhile transfer to get rid of Lukaku or Barkley when you're going to probably want them back in a couple weeks' time? You know, you're going to want to use your transfers to load up on 37 double game weekers mm-hmm. for those who you have in game week 34 who
Really good call. Yeah, and also Everton have the Palace fixture, which still hasn't been scheduled. So
yeah, so
they should have another double, maybe even a triple in 37.
Yeah, and a triple I think would be too bad because no one's going to play three games in a week.
I don't know, but I'm triple captaining him no matter what, if it's a triple.
Yeah, for sure. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But yeah, so let's get back into the teams because we haven't really done team-by-team breakdowns in a long time. So let's just run down the list of the 10 double game week teams for 34, mm-hmm. Talk about who we like, what their fixtures are for that double game week, and just our thoughts. So let's start with Arsenal. They are home Palace, home West Brom for 34. What do you think?
Well, right off the bat, I want to bring up a point that you made to me earlier, which is focusing more on center backs than fullbacks. Because my natural, like everyone's natural reaction when they see home Palace, home West Brom is like, okay, like Bellerin or Monreal immediately in my team. But fullbacks just get rotated so much more, especially this season, I feel like, so much more than center backs.
Yeah.
Like the center back pairing of the good teams almost never changes, barring injury. Versus the fullback pairing can just get like switched all the time. So I don't know. I'm immediately looking at like which center backs are going to be nailed for Arsenal because they have three, and I don't know who the top ones are.
Yeah, no. To me with Arsenal, it's a little bit of the fullback thing spot on. But I think Bellerin's pretty safe for those games because he's clearly never playing Debuchy. I don't know why he even gets stressed. I don't know where he is in the world, but
yeah.
Between Gabriel, Koscielny, and Mertesacker, you know that any one of those is a rotation risk. Monreal has Gibbs lurking. Bellerin seems like a great shout if you can fit him in. He's also a fucking fortune. He's like 6'2".
Yeah, and Cech is obviously great. Cech's expensive. He'll be back by then.
Yeah, he'll be back, but he's less expensive than Bellerin. He's probably the cheapest nailed route into their defense. But I mean,
some people would argue Mert, but
I don't feel comfortable. It's just there's no point. I'd rather get a defender from a different team at the same price who I know is going to play both games. You have two bites of the apple. Like that's what double game weeks are all about.
Yeah,
you don't want to get a rotation risk.
Nailed is like literally the most important thing.
Yeah. I mean, the 2 points for minutes played is not nothing.
No.
So, yeah, I mean, it's got to be Cech or Bellerin back there. Oetzel, I think, is going to be in every team.
Oetzel will be in every team. What do you think about Sanchez?
I don't know. He's so expensive, and I think the places are so limited for at midfield. We just went through basically the three that you need to have. If he shows some form, again, 34 is a little far away. If he starts showing form, then I think he's a no-brainer because those are juicy fixtures on paper.
What's it, a month away? Because there's an international break.
Yeah, it's a while.
It's a while away. A while. Don't freak out too much. Yeah. Don't lose too much sleep.
Dark Horse, I think, is a little maybe Welbeck. I don't know.
Well, yeah, he'd have to really, again, like it's a month away, he'd have to really start scoring goals and start every game.
Yeah, but that's
like, he's not a good goal scorer. He's not a good striker.
Yeah, but he's the best striker they have right now, I think.
He's the best striker they have. And the Arsenal's like the classic team who just like the lead in all those advanced stats of like clear-cut chances and shit like that. And they just, Welbeck will miss a wide-open goal when it matters most.
Like he did against Watford.
Yeah, so.
But he also scored one, so who knows?
No, he's a dark horse for sure. I mean,
because that third striker spot's going to be a massive differential spot for all of us. And who we choose in that spot's going to be very telling as how we do in 34.
Yeah, there's not much. Ramsey's hurt.
Yeah, no, I think that's it.
Giroud, yeah. I guess if Giroud, again, if he gets into really good form again, when he had that little scoring run.
I don't know, I can't see it. Even still, because they could still play fucking Walcott or again Welbeck. To me, Welbeck is so far and away the best striker for their team the last month. If that carries on, I think he's an outside shout for your third striker, and we'll revisit this as it gets closer.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
For Arsenal, that's about it, I think.
All right, yeah, let's go on.
West Brom. West Brom's got home Watford at Arsenal. I think Dawson's a good pick.
Yeah, he's a great pick. He's like their most attacking defender, most nailed defender.
I mean, he seems to be very much their focal point on set pieces. Home Watford's such a great defensive fixture.
Yeah, terrific defensive fixture. They don't have a good attacking fixture. West Brom's incapable of that.
Yeah, but Rondon,
people get Rondon as their third.
He's on form, he's cheap, he could be a third attacker.
Yeah, he's a legit option. No one else, though.
No midfielders, that's about it. I mean, Foster could be a good goalie shout.
If you're trying to save a little also.
I'm not going to go too nuts. I mean, I haven't looked at like goalkeeper rotations, but for a bench boost, you know, you want to keep your second goalie kind of cheap. It could be a good shot. West Ham, they're at Leicester and home Watford for the 34 double. What do you think? I mean, Paye.
He's nailed to a post. And then there's Antonio.
He looks good. He's so integral to everything they do.
So many people are going to have him, and he's just the most informed thing ever.
And he's really cheap.
Yeah, he's cheap too. He's going to be in a ton of teams. I could see people bringing in Striker too as a third striker, Sakho, something like that.
At the same time, you're looking at it, at Leicester and home Watford are not good attacking fixtures.
Yeah, they're still very don't bad feel comfortable doubling.
They're really good defensive fixture. I think Adrian's a good shout.
Yep.
I think Ogbonna's a good shout.
Yep.
Reed is like getting company. He could get injured any day and just be out for a month.
But, he is injured, I'm pretty sure.
He just came back. He started their FA Cup game.
Okay.
But Ogbonna also got a couple baps, I think, the last couple games, so he might be a good pick. Adrian, or whatever the fucking Spanish accent on the A. He seems to me, in just looking at everything, to be one of the goalies that I'm probably going to go with.
Yeah, and he's been great.
He's been great.
Just ask producer Nate. He's gotten so many fucking points for him. What about Cresswell?
He's just expensive. And
he's really expensive, but he puts up a lot of points.
Yeah, I'm looking and thinking, like, if I'm going to get Cresswell or, like, Bellerin, I'd probably want Bellerin with two home fixtures versus Cresswell with a home and an away.
Yeah, and two home better fixtures for Arsenal.
Yeah, both better. And then, look, we'll come to United soon, but, I mean, you know, they've got good fixtures defensively. It's just going to be tough to fit everyone in. You know?
But money-wise is really, like, we've been building up our team value this whole season for this week.
Yeah, basically exactly that.
Yeah.
But Cresswell's a great chap because, you know, even though he's a fullback, he's certainly going to play both games. There's no question about that.
Yeah, he never gets benched.
Yeah, he's a shout for bonus, assist, goals anytime he steps on the pitch. So.
Yeah, own goals. He can do it all.
He can do it all. Watford are at West Brom and at West Ham. That's tough for me to figure out.
Those are very bad.
Yeah, I think defensively, though, it's kind of good.
I don't know. Yeah, defensively they're not bad. I don't know. It's just hard to frame them in my mind as like a top five team in the league. Like at West Ham should not be a good fixture defensively. They're beating everyone. Why is that good?
But no, you're right.
It feels good,
but it's not.
But it's not good. At West Brom's terrific.
Yeah. So I still am thinking about Agallo a little bit. I haven't honed him all year.
They have cheap defenders too. I feel like a lot of people have like them as their fifth defender or something like that.
Yeah, and that feels fine. I mean,
that's fine.
When you're looking at the 4.5 defender range, you're not going to do better than that.
Britos or some shit.
Ake or whomever.
So
United is the most difficult, I think, for me. They're home Villa and then home Palace.
At least while I'm making my team, the first two people I'll put in are De Gea and Smalling, and then see, I might need that money elsewhere, but like, those just feel like the two most nailed on cleans in the world right now.
Yeah, I agree.
Just like, fuck, like those are going to be so many points.
It's
so much money. Smalling's still over six.
Yeah, he's 6'5", I think, and De Gea is 5 upwards, close to 6, 5'7", or something like that.
So that's really hard. And then with the blank, too, it makes them just like a little more expensive.
Yeah, I mean, if you get De Gea, you need to make sure that you get a goalie who has a double, but also a game in 35, which is tricky. You can't get Adrian, for example, but or Robles.
You get fucking prosciutto face Bob Elliott.
There you go, you get Bob. But I was looking at Rojo a little bit. I feel like Rojo is a very reasonable alternative to Smalling.
Didn't he get subbed early, though, last game?
Yeah, but he keeps getting his little knocks and niggles. But I think in a month he should probably be fit. And he seems like he'll play both games. He's clearly good.
Yeah. I mean, he's obviously a better center back than Blind. Blind is not a center back.
So I'm looking at trying to fit Rojo in instead of De Gea for that 1.5 savings. So that's big. But like you say, a De Gea would be a great shout.
Yeah.
Attacking-wise, I wish
Gumby was not hurt. Orthwick Jackson. We could just bring in Gumby and just watch him fucking fuck around all day. It'd be great.
That would be fun.
Getting to watch a double Gumby is just like, once every 600 years.
He just rubberizes and falls and picks himself up.
Oh, he blends in with the pitch. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, it's just camouflage seamless.
Mm.
But attacking Lingard, I don't know. He's really cheap. If you're really strapped, he could be a good pick. But it feels criminal not to have one of their attackers for Villa and Palace home.
It's just like insane, but like who? I don't know. Martial's kind of on the wing.
He's playing out of position. Like, I don't want that.
Yeah, but he's still like their top scorer. He's been in form. And then there's Mata, who's just like, I don't know.
Gets red cards for fun because he's so nice.
Yeah, there's so few options. Like
Rashford, Lingard, I don't know. We'll have to wait until we get closer. But it does seem sensible to pick one of their attackers. But if we're going to double on their defense and we're looking at all these blank game weeks in 35, that might be all we can stomach.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll see. Palace have a nightmare fixtures of at Arsenal and at Man U, but I'm probably going to put Bolasie in for fun.
Well, you're a Palace fan.
Yeah, but
I probably won't. I don't know. I like I mentioned earlier, I toyed with the idea of Dan just because like it'll be a huge differential and he's probably the leading goal scorer of all defenders.
Yeah.
But
I think he is, actually. I mean, he probably is.
He has a fucking million goals. He's like Skrtel from 2 years ago.
He has 5 goals and 2 assists.
It feels like every set piece he fucking scores.
Yeah.
But, man, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going near, like, Adebayor, Wickham, Kabai. I don't want any of that.
You can't do.
Yeah.
It's tough to invest. Kabai might be an outside shot if he's still playing number 10 by that time. But,
Yeah.
Newcastle are one of 3 teams that have 2 home games, 4 teams, no, 3 teams, sorry. Home Swansea, home City.
We should also mention that Arsenal don't have a blank in 35, West Brom don't have a blank in 35, Newcastle also don't have a blank in 35. Yeah. The past 3 we mentioned do, West Ham, United, and Palace.
Yeah.
So Newcastle, they're home Swansea, home City.
But what the fuck do you want? They're horrible.
they're so bad. But is Rafa going to make them good defensively? Is he going to turn things around?
You know, we have a couple weeks to see. But
we have, yeah, these 3 weeks will be like tryouts for if we're going to have any Newcastle players in our team.
Yeah, and I mean, Wijnaldum could be a shout because we all know how he does at home, and they have two home games, even though one City.
Yeah, and honestly, if he tightens them up, even though City's bad, like maybe home Swansea's not bad defensively.
Yeah, but like Bob, he's going to get saves home City, even though they'll concede. I mean, Bob could be in for a double-digit, double-game week for sure.
Also, we don't even know who's first choice. Like, if Steven Taylor keeps starting, he's 3-8.
Yeah.
And like, that just might be necessary.
Yeah, if you need to find someone really cheap.
Yeah, and him or like Las Salas is 4-2. Like, they're so cheap because they're so fucking bad.
Yeah, Lascelles, I don't know how you say his name.
I have no idea. No. Yeah. I like Lascelles.
Yeah.
Lascelles.
Definitely wrong. Definitely wrong, but I love
horribly
it.
Horribly butchered and wrong.
City
what
at Chelsea.
Fucking Mitrovic, dog? My boy.
I mean, is any striker in 3 weeks' time going to be nailed? I feel like with their options, it's going to be a disaster.
Yeah, it's a mare.
And he's not going to be my third like striker. There's no way I'm picking. No, I know you do, but he's not going to be my third striker. I'd rather have Adebayor than him.
I can't say he's not because I love him, but yeah, he might shouldn't. Be. He shouldn't be.
It might be Sturridge, so we'll get there. But Manchester City at Chelsea at Newcastle. So Aguero's in. Company's hurt again. Everyone else is really expensive. I need to really go deep into the tank and think about Clichy because he doesn't seem shy about running him into the ground, and he clearly prefers him to Kolarov. He just played him. They had that Champions League game, and he's been playing nonstop. He missed a lot of the year. He hates Kolarov. He hates Kolarov. Rightly so, because he's like Navas on the other wing. He just doesn't have nudes of him. So
wait, we got to pause for a second and talk about Navas.
Oh, no.
What did you learn about Navas today in the minute by minute?
He's my favorite player, and I love him so much.
Both of us were at work during the Champions League match today, so we couldn't watch. But the minute-by-minute guy, Greg Bukowski, was just dropping bombs on Navas all day, just hating on him with as much passion as we do. And it was just – it was beautiful. It was solidarity.
It was well-deserved because he's the worst player in the league. And – he keeps keeping Sterling out of the team. I mean, we talked about it before. I mean, fuck today. They nil-nilled against Dynamo Kiev, Norwich, who have played one competitive game in the last 3 months because
they play in
Antarctica. But we were talking about on the weekend about Pellegrini's team sheets. And when you play the team sheet you play against Norwich with three attackers, Silva, Bonny, and Aguero, you shouldn't score because the other team has 11 players to just mark three players out of the game. Like, that's simple.
Yeah, Fernandinho and Fernando, and then you play fucking Sanya over Zab, you play fucking Clichy over Kolarov in
a
game where you know you're going to dominate the ball, and you need to fucking win.
It's a ridiculous thing. It'll be very nice to see Pellegrini out next year because he clearly has lost the plot.
I'm so sick of him.
It's tiring.
The walking cigarette man.
Yeah. But
he's just an unashed cigarette.
As much as I would love to have cigarettes with him,
yeah,
it's time to go. And Navas is just, there's no rationale. There's no reasonable, logical explanation for a human to give another human as to why he's keeping someone like Sterling out of the team when they're playing teams like Norwich who have no attacking threat. They play teams like Dynamo Kiev who are fucking literal Kiev. Like, where is that in the world? Nobody knows. And they can't score goals. They just can't. They keep not scoring goals. And Sterling misses sitters as well as Navas does. But
yeah,
he also scores and at least like threatens goal. He
at least
just,
like dribbles by people and draws pens and concedes pens. And he's at least entertaining.
Yeah, he gives the illusion that he's going to score. Navas gives the illusion that he's the worst thing ever, and he follows through with that every time.
Yeah, and like you know, maybe Pellegrini is trying to protect Sterling because the amount of racial abuse he had received from Kiev fans is staggering, but that maybe that'll just light the fire under him and he'll start scoring.
Yeah, I mean, he fucking brought him off the bench a couple weeks ago. He scored a goal. He sits him down. They score zero goals. It's good. Fuck you. That's what you deserve. And then the tie was already done, but it's not like he's fucking tired. Like, go run out and do something right here.
Yeah.
Like,
play. Get in form. Win some games.
What's the fucking point? Yeah. If not to entertain. So.
Okay, so what other city players are we even talking about in this double? In their away double where they can't score away.
I mean, one is at Newcastle, which should be just a 4-0, but at Chelsea is no easy game. Silva and De Bruyne should be back. De Bruyne should be back. So that's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for me, like you said earlier, to just accept that they're bad on the road and to only keep Aguero.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense, but if I'm disciplined enough, then I will only have Aguero in attack, and then I will probably have
maybe either a defender, yeah.
Yeah, Clichy or Otamendi or somebody.
Or Hart, even.
Yeah, maybe Hart. He's a little pricey. Probably would rather go De Gea, but I might.
But it's nice they have like home Stoke next, like a decent fixture. Yeah, like, yeah.
I could conceivably end up with just Aguero though, because they don't have another.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
They don't have a second double. The fixtures aren't out of control. They're both away, so we'll see.
And the fixtures are pretty bad afterwards too.
Yeah.
And home Stoke is fine, but then at Southampton, home Arsenal.
Yeah.
Not good.
No, not good. So maybe just Aguero there. We'll see. And then we have Everton, their home, Southampton, at Liverpool. So those are tough fixtures, attacking standpoint. But Lukaku just seems like he's in the mood, and you can't count him
out.
He's
so good.
Yeah, he's so good. So Lukaku's got to come in. They have all the double game weeks forever. So I'm looking at Robles.
But they're blank in 35.
Blank in 35. So I'm looking at trying to figure out like a Robles situation. Maybe not, because if I get Adrian, I need a goalie for 35. Jagielka seems like the most nailed on route into
their
defense.
Their defense is so bad, though.
I know, but you know, they have so many doubles, and I'm feeling like I can hide him in the games that I'm not going to start him, and he's always a goal shout. So yeah. Southampton home, as bad as their defense is, that's as good as the defensive fixture as you can look
yeah,
at.
Yeah, that's a good fixture.
At Liverpool, there's no clean there. There's always goals in the derby, but, you know, he always goals in the derby, so.
Is Funes Mori nailed?
I don't know what's happening with Stones, because he's kind of been fluctuating formation. Sometimes he's had that three at the back with the three of them.
Yeah, and sometimes Funes Mori plays fucking left back.
Yeah,
right,
I don't
back.
Know. Like, I don't know. I think he's a better goal threat than Jagielka, but
yeah, he's been scoring some goals.
Yeah, but he's a little bit more expensive, and I think he's a little bit less nailed on than Jagielka. I don't think I'd risk it.
Yeah, he's definitely less nailed on. Yeah. What happened to fucking Coleman Baines just scoring for fun?
Well,
the good old days.
I know. Bane seems to just be worse than Brian Oviedo, so that's a thing that's happening in the world. And then Coleman's looked good, but again, right back, games, I don't know. I'm nervous. I'd rather go with a center back.
Yeah, a lot of people have Barkley. A lot of people have Lennon. I mean, assuming Lennon keeps his form.
I'm a little bit wary about Lennon just because Martinez
he'll get rotated.
He has so many options on the wing. And just looking at like game log of Barkley, he plays every fucking game. He's never rested.
Yeah, yeah. When Jerry just hasn't, he just doesn't play ever anymore.
Yeah, he must have like fucked Martin as his wife.
Yeah, Deulofeu just like curses him off in Spanish, and that's the only language he understands. And he's just like, oh, okay.
It's opposite of nudes from Navas for Pellegrini. He has fucked his wife. And but even still, Kevin will probably be back at some point. I don't know. There's just so many options on the wing. I'm just a little nervous about Lennon. Even though if it was a 1 week punt, I would take Lennon over Barkley 10 times out of 10, because Barkley is just a joke and he lucks into points, and that's what you. But I think Barkley, it's going to be the kind of thing where he's so highly owned that it's not going to be worth the risk to not own him. And I think from 34 to the season's end, given that they're going to have two, if not three, double game weeks. You just have to try and fit him in and hide him and hope he lucks into points when you have
absolutely.
Him.
Yeah. And I miss Kone, you know?
I mean, give me that Skeletor walk.
Yeah, the zombie walk. I love the zombie walk.
Give me more of that.
God, I'd kill for more of that.
And then the last Game Week 34 doubler is your Liverpool. Bournemouth. At Bournemouth, and then a home Merseyside derby.
So terrible defensive fixtures.
Yeah.
Bournemouth and Everton are very good attacking teams, but Firmino's nailed, as we mentioned earlier.
Yeah,
and then everything else is kind of a punt.
Yep.
Coutinho is probably too expensive, but might be worth it as a punt if you can afford him. Milner is interesting. He's been putting up points lately. He'll be back. He's on pens. He's 6'5", very affordable.
Is he on pens? Because Sturridge took that one.
I think he'll be on pens. I think if he was playing, he would have taken it.
You think so?
He hasn't missed. there's no reason to like take him off pens.
Okay.
And I think he's definitely taken one with Serge on, I would guess. He's taken like three or four in the last couple
months. I just wonder if there's a thing about like that with, because to me, if I was managing a team, I'd want my striker to just be taking pens. Like, you're fucking the genius Dongfest. Like,
yeah, I did love Sturge's attitude of just like, there was no question.
No question.
Yeah, but I mean, Sturge is the ultimate punt.
Sturge has started one game in the league since October 4th.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that.
Yeah, well, he's been dead for years.
He has had one start since October 4th. That's just out of control to me.
It's out of control. Yeah. But he's been fit for like a month.
Yeah, he still just like doesn't start because he like all of a sudden.
Well, Klopp just like protects him.
Yeah, no, it's like all of a sudden presser comes out on Thursday. He's like, Daniel like woke up this morning and stubbed his toe on the door to the bathroom when he went to take his morning shit, so he's out for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, great.
Like, I mean, Danny. Like, the thing with Sturridge is that, well, and for the millionth time, this game week 34 is a month away.
Yeah.
We'll know a lot about what Liverpool are going to do, I think, in 34 by the time it rolls around.
I agree.
Because if we're like, there's a chance we're like tied for top four spot or something like that, and we're right there. And there's a chance Sturridge's form is just out of control. And then, like, he's going to start both.
Yeah.
You know, but there's also a chance that we're not relevant anymore and Serge is hurt again or just out of form or switching off with Origi or something.
Yeah. That could happen for sure.
So, yeah, it's I don't know. It's all crazy with Liverpool.
Yeah, but, and having a defender, just, their defenders are still pretty cheap. I mean, Mignolet's only 4.9. Lovren's 4.8.
Lovren's we'll the most worth it, but, it seems like.
Yeah, Lovren or Sacco, if they're still nailed, I mean, getting one of them, I would definitely not get Moreno because he's not going to start both games.
No, he's not going to start both, yeah. And then they're home Newcastle in 35, which is just like an extra little tit. And also have a double in 37, so it's like you want to get all of the Liverpool players, but it's just so tricky. There's such a minefield.
Yeah, they also have home Stoke in 33, so even though that 34 defensive fixture double doesn't look great,
it's still
they're bookended by a couple great fixtures. So having one, if not two, of their defenders could be a really good play.
Yep.
Just get Firmino, Miggs, and fucking like Lovren.
Yeah. No, that's totally a shout. It's the attack is just so rotating so much, and it's just such a mess.
Yeah.
And I mean, like it honestly seems like there's only goals in Firmino at this point.
Yeah.
And like, sure, we're winning, but like, there's just no other like consistent goal scorer.
Yeah, Lallana, Coutinho could be shouts at Sturridge.
Yeah, I mean, I love them both. They're just not like the best FPL options.
So I think that's about it. Those are the 10 double game week teams. We went over half the teams in the fucking league.
Yeah, that was a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot. But again, just closing this segment before we move on to just looking at captains, cleans for 31. I think in terms of planning and the wild carding, it's just, when you're making your team, you have to be really, really conscious of Game Week 35 because there's those few teams that have the blanks, and if you can save into 35, I think that's going to be the crux of, if you have a flyer in 34, you don't want to stumble too much in 35. You want to still put together
a
good
11. Yeah,
that
could be a big week for a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah, it could be, you know, if those teams that didn't go nuts in 34 and kept some of their Leicester players or their single game weekers, you don't want to feel such a weak inside in 34 where you can't start, you know, a healthy number of attackers and you have too many defenders starting, where you undo your good work in 34. So
yeah, because I mean, let's be honest, like Tottenham are home, West Brom in 35. Like you said, those teams who didn't go crazy in 34 have Alderweireld, Ali, and they're captaining Kane.
Leicester,
and that's like
home
heavy
Swansea.
Duty to fucking deal with. Yeah, Leicester home, Swansea. Yeah.
That's going to be equally as important as flying in 34. Granted, the point ceiling you have in 34 with doubles are much higher, but you know the heavy hitters on the top two teams in the league, we're thinking about purging ourselves of all of them and having zero players from those teams, where other teams who don't have their wild card, they're trying to field 11, they still have Mahrez, they still have Kane or whatnot.
Yep.
You could be in trouble for 35. So just keep that in mind also.
Keep it in mind.
All right, so let's look captains for 31. I have two guys in mind. What are you looking at?
I haven't even fucking looked yet. I'm like, okay. I'm catching my breath right now.
All
right,
I'll jump start it. So yeah, jump start. Two slam dunks to me. We have Swansea home Villa, so that's Siggy time. Mm. He's just been in out of control form.
Yeah.
He's been so consistent. He hasn't necessarily been explosive. He's been getting his double digit hauls have been just the 10 pointers, but I feel like he's a brace coming soon, and that's going to be a 15 for him.
All it takes is a free kick and dangerous.
All it takes is a pen. Villa are always a good chat for a pen. I think Villa are bad enough at this point that I think it's a really good captaincy shout. And second to him, more safe, would probably be Kane home Bournemouth.
Kane. Yeah, Kane home Bournemouth. That's who I have it on right now, but I'm probably going to transfer in Siggy, so we'll see.
Yeah, that's going to be tough because I think Siggy is pretty highly owned among the active teams, but Kane feels a lot safer, and I think he'll be a lot highly.
He'll be like 50% captain, especially after last week.
Yeah, so that's going to be, that'll be tough. I'm going to have to see how my nerve holds up throughout the week, but I think Kane at home Bournemouth again, he looked so good against Villa. He hit the bar, had a brace. He's been in the mood, so.
Yeah, he looked amazing.
The one thing, though, about that is that they do have their second leg against Dortmund, so we'll see what kind of team he fields and how up they're going to get for that game on Thursday. It's another 2-day off turnaround before that game, so.
Yeah, we'll have to really monitor because there's a chance they just don't go for it at all, down 3-0, or there's a chance they just go mental.
No, they could start, like, the same team and just rest Eriksen and play, like, Ollie.
And honestly, they probably should.
It should do, because it's meaningless for them. They're not going to come back. It's meaningless.
They're 100% in Champions League. Yeah. They have their first title challenge in fucking ever.
Yeah, for sure. Clean sheets also.
Are there any other captains? Not really, right?
I don't think so. I mean, I guess Aguero because he's home, but I think United are good enough that the two home fixtures for Kane and Siggy are that much better.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, I think so. That's all I see, really, honestly.
I toyed with the idea of like just an absolute mindfuck punt of captaining Alexis.
I think
at Everton is like one of the best attacking fixtures in the league. I honestly do.
Yeah, I mean they ship 2+ every home game.
Every home game. It's fucking insane. And I just feel like Arsenal are just gonna it's always when you count them out the most when they have their best performance of the year.
4-0 just a spanking.
Yeah, just like a fucking destruction Alexis hat trick. So that's my gut, but it's very scary.
I mean, I think it's just outstanding that you have him because I think that's one of the best differentials of the week.
Yeah, totally.
Clean sheets are tough to predict, I think, because this week we're talking about it's a lot of like evenly matched teams playing each other. A lot of teams playing each other that are very close to each other in the table.
Yeah. Well, Leicester's looking good against Palace. Yeah,
they're always a show for the team. I mean, I'm going to start them, but I still am trying to talk myself into like we could beat them, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're Leicester. They suck.
Oh, God. We're going to get fucking 1-0.
You are going to get 1-0.
It's going to be like an Albrighton ridiculous deflected goal off like Delaney's dick fuck.
Yeah, it's like an Andy King, 35-yard fuck me in the ass goal.
Watford Stoke is tough to call. I think that's going to be low scoring.
I don't think there's a crane there. Yeah.
I don't see goals there, but I don't know. It's not going to 0-0, but I don't know. What do you think? Because Watford's so fucking tight at home at Vicarage Road, but Stoke, when they go away, they don't score. That could maybe
be true. Arnie scores all his goals at home, huh?
Yeah. I'm a little nervous about having Arnie and starting him this week at Watford because I think it's a bad on paper fixture, but he looks good enough that I'm going to just keep it going. But I don't know.
Yeah, that's a tough one to call.
That's a tough one to call. West Brom home Norwich.
Yeah. You like West Brom there.
Yeah, you got it, right? Norwich don't ever score on the road.
No. I like that Alex Neil didn't start Jerome. He listens to the pod.
Finally, even though it didn't bear fruit.
It didn't do anything, but.
I mean, Swansea home Villa, that's got to be the number one banker, right?
Yeah, everyone is bringing in Ashley Williams right now.
Yeah, 9 points coming in.
9 points.
Newcastle Sunday. I'm really upset that game's on so early on Sunday because I really want to watch it.
It's going to be so good, but it's on during Liverpool also, so I'm not going to watch it either.
I might get dedication, put it on, and wake up early and watch it.
Yeah,
I don't think there's a clean there, though.
There's going to be red cards there.
Ugh, give me all of them.
Minimum 1.5 red cards.
Yeah, it's going to be a Jack Coolback and a little Lee Catterall session.
Yeah, they just fucking swap jerseys at halftime, both get red cards. Yeah. Like,
I think
swap jerseys at 20 minutes when they both get sent off simultaneously.
That'd be great. I think that's about it. I think those Sunday games, they'll clean some room. Manchester Derby, dude, they're fucking Darbs this weekend.
Yeah. I mean,
Conware and Manchester, yeah, that's great.
Spuds home Bournemouth, they might just dominate.
Yeah, but they always dominate, and they always let up at least a couple of really good goal-scoring opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, Villa should have scored.
I think, yeah, they should. I think Bournemouth's going to score.
I love Bournemouth, mm-hmm. as I said earlier. Mm-hmm. God damn.
All right. Gaming 31, what are you looking at?
Yeah, the move that I've been talking to you about for like a week, since even before the weekend, was Vardy and Richie out, because I want to get Siggy. I feel like Siggy's like a must-own this week.
He's really highly owned among the active players.
He's really highly owned among active teams, as is, and then he's home Villa.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Like, yeah, if he has like, a brace, like you'll fly, but if you don't own him, then it's going to be tough.
Yeah, it's really risky. And then Vardy, I'm done with him. I mean, I've been done with him. I haven't wanted him for like three straight weeks, and now is the time, maybe. So I talked about last week, maybe like a Jermaine Defoe or something like that, just like kind of a punt because I know I'm going to wild card in 33.
Right.
But I don't know. Now Otamendi's hurt.
Right.
I was planning on all-out attacking right. and just playing Fuchs and Otamendi, but I don't even know if Otamendi's going to play, and then I don't know if I even want a City defender with no company.
Right.
So I'm a little torn up right now. I still think Defoe's a shout at Newcastle home West Brom, and like he's just been a really good goal scorer all year, even though they fucking suck. But I just don't know what I'm going to do, and I don't know if I'm in the mood for a -8.
You should definitely not take a -8.
Well, but that's the thing. If I did take a -8, I'd be Otamendi out for Ashley Williams, which is just like an auto-9.
But it's never an auto-9 because...
But it's as always, close as you could possibly get.
I know,
get.
But it's always such a risk to get a defender in thinking that when it's not like an attacker where you a moment of brilliance and you get a goal and you're good.
Yeah,
you're so dependent on the other four players, the goalkeeper.
Players.
Get, yeah, it's yeah, so absolutely. Tricky. I agree with you that I think Ashley Williams looks on paper the most surefire 9-pointer, but I think your alternatives aren't that bad. And I also feel like Otamendi could make it because he just said he thinks he'll recover in a couple days.
I think
days,
he will but, make it. I just yeah. don't feel great about it with no company in
yeah,
Derby.
That's fine. But he's also a very decent attacking threat. So
yeah.
I think between like Fuchs... I mean, Circus, I don't know. He could
no,
get
I
a
can't.
Fucking
My other pen. Defenders are have bad
They're
fixtures.
Bad.
And Bertrand bad. Home, Liverpool, and fucking Joel War's not even... I would never play no. against anyone. And then Circus at Tottenham. It's just like
you'd
as bad as
just,
it gets.
You just have to hope for a pen. I think you'd have to go Fuchs, Otamendi, and Daniels.
Well, I'm on an all-out attack, so I'm
oh,
not even
Oh, right. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But like...
even
it's
if you
so,
all attack,
it's
though.
Such a tempting -8. And like... You've been going nuts all fucking year. You're 40K. Like, why can't I go nuts, Adam?
No, you can, but I don't know. I'm trying because
why
I
can't
think
I have fun?
You stop that. I think God. You like you can easily reason that you'll come ahead on it, but when we have such a short period of time to make up the points when we're going to wild card in 2 weeks, like that's one thing I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
And then the second thing I'm thinking about is if you're going to all out attack, even if you fucking have to. If Otamendi's dead and Bertrand has his shit fixture, like you can still start Daniels in a 2 and hope he gets a pen or something. At least you have a shout.
Yeah.
Because you know the points potential is always in attack. So
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's very reasonable. As far as like what forward to choose from, if I don't go Defoe, I can afford Ighalo. Not excited about it. And like aside from that, we kind of went over it last week. There's just like really not that many attackers.
All right. Well, on that note, let's move over to my team because yeah. Because
you're flying.
I'm flying, but I'm also looking in a similar vein where I have one free. My attack's well set up, so I'm basically deciding between two things. One, holding Costa on his little neck bite ban, getting rid of Sterling for Paye, which is reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
At Chelsea, or mm-hmm. Holding Sterling, sticking him on the bench, getting rid of Costa, and bringing on Rondon.
Interesting.
I'm leaning the Rondon because I, even though he hasn't had explosions, home Norwich is a little tasty. At Chelsea,
home
Norwich, I don't
know. At Sunderland after that too.
Yeah, at Sunderland after that's really nice. Paye, I could wait another week and bring him next week. But I just have a, I don't know. Rondon's the kind of player that I just had the feels about all year, and I want to just experience it.
Yeah, and you would just bench Sterling?
Bench Sterling. Fuck him. He sucks. He's just not going to start. He's going to play Navas. Navas' little brother and Navas' little sister over Sterling.
You know he's going to start if you bench him too, right?
I'm sure I'll start and have a fucking hat trick.
Yeah, like Arnie's going to blank and Sterling's going to drop 13.
All right, then I'll start Sterling and bench Arnie. Job done.
Job done. Yeah, that's a tough call. What are West Ham? West Ham have bad fixtures, but Pie is just such a fucking contest. Yeah, that's the thing.
There is no bad fixture for West Ham.
There's no bad fixture.
They're at Chelsea, but then they have home Palace. So I can. That's what I'm thinking. I'm just like, okay, if I don't wild card in 32, I'll just get them. 32.
Yeah, just so you'd only miss at Chelsea anyway.
I miss at Chelsea. I get rid of Ollie or someone and just get Pie.
Yeah, let's do it. Rondon. Let's run down.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
so I'm gonna wait until
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Rondon, it's gonna be fun. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm gonna wait. I'm not gonna make any moves till like after Europa. Like I'm Friday. Bugging out about these moves, and I'm just like. Dude,
and that was the other thing we talked about last week. Yaya Toure, Rose and Price on Tuesday. Everyone's bringing him in. Presser comes out. Oh, he's not playing. Like he's good not job, playing. Guys.
Yeah.
There's no reason to bring these players in early whatsoever. Gotta wait until Friday.
So rare that it's 0.1 exactly is the difference between you being able to get a guy and not get a guy at this point in the season.
Yeah, it's just our team values are high enough. It's just don't play victim to like even me like Casa. I mean, I'm absorbing a loss of selling value. He dropped the other week. I'm like, I'm not fucking bugging.
Sanchez dropped last night. Now I have him fucking at Everton, and I'm very happy about it.
Yeah, sometimes you have to absorb it. It's not all about value. I think that's it.
Wow, that was long and like tiring.
I'm tired.
That took the life out of me.
Yeah, I felt like it was back when we used to have our agendas and we try and hit the points. But I think it was necessary this time because I think the listeners want Game Week 34 time.
And this is what everyone wants. Like Twitter was a fucking insane shit fuck today.
Good.
Like, I check, as soon as you G-chatted me, like, oh my god, the double game weeks are up, I just opened Twitter and everyone was just going insane. So this is what the people want. This is what we give them.
Yeah. DGWs.
The DGWs, the BGWs, the BBs, the AOAs.
All the acronyms. All right, run down house cleaning. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Follow us on SoundCloud. Follow us on SoundCloud. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, all the podcast apps. Email us fmlfpl@gmail.com. Any opening questions or just questions in general, rate my teams, etc. Tweet me, fmlfpl. Join the league. We're over 400 now. Having a blast. Fucking cheers.
Cheers.